How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Ask the Lord to help for the next few moments and give us His thoughts. Amen. Amen. A couple things up front I want to mention. Number one is that feelings are important. How you feel is important. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but understand that feelings, however, are not designed to be a guidance system. They shouldn't be that which directs or controls us, even though they're very important. They are not a guidance system. A person who lives by their feelings will probably be close to the description given in James of the double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. Or like the cork on the ocean that by the waves is pushed one way and then the other because feelings change a lot. So they weren't meant or designed to guide us because God has given us a much better guidance system. And maybe I should stop here just for a moment to suggest to you what those two systems are. One is the Word of God and the other is the Holy Spirit. That's where our guidance comes from. And sometimes the guidance has to come to us in spite of our feeling. And the guidance may go against our feelings. And the mark of a mature person is that he is able to lay aside his feelings to follow the guidance. I can't tell you how critically important that is. The illustration I've used before, and I don't want to take you through the details of it. Let me just put it this way. A pilot must pilot the airplane according to the instrument panel and not the way he feels. They call that other kind of flying by the seat of your pants. And there are weather conditions that you can get into where you cannot see anything. And guidance is really important, but feeling better not be the guidance system. When you are in weather that you cannot see through, when you are surrounded with clouds, when you don't understand what's going on, or you don't know why certain things are occurring, you need to revert immediately to the guide system. Otherwise, you face shipwreck, disaster. Notwithstanding, having said that, feelings are very important. Because what really happens is after you settle in on the guidance system, your feelings adjust to the guidance. Your feelings will adjust to the guidance. But feelings are very important. Well, how do we know feelings are important? This scripture talks about people who, being past feeling, have given themselves over. In this case, it's to lasciviousness or sensual sexual drives, and to work all kinds of uncleanness and greed, greediness. They are now past feeling. That is a terrible condition to be in. When you can no longer feel the tug of the Spirit on your soul, it is possible to ignore God and deny the guidance system so long, so often, that you lose the ability to feel. Now watch the scripture, because I want to show you again the importance of feeling. There are those who are past feeling, but you have not so learned Christ. In Christ, there is a lot of feeling. Some have lost their feelings about Jesus. And religion will do that to you. Never forget that being a Christian is being connected to Christ. That's what it is. And it is possible to carry on religious form and not have the substance. And that's a hollow existence. The scripture describes it as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power of it, you see, is the connection you have with Jesus. Why Jesus, the mere mention of his name should stir something in your soul. Jesus, his name is like ointment poured forth. We're talking about Jesus, who knows how to calm troubled seas. We're talking about Jesus, who knows how to heal withered hands and open blind eyes and cause the lame to leap again. We're talking about Jesus, Savior. Jesus dying on the cross for us. Jesus rising again from the dead for our justification. Jesus, whoever lives. Jesus, who walks with us and talks with us. And it's just as he's just as real as if I should say Judith to you. Jesus. And there's no doubt about it that when I say Judith, something tingles in me. And as well it should when you say the name of your spouse. It's not just your spouse. You know, when I say Faith Shirley, I have a feeling that comes to me at the mention and the recollection of this little girl. Yeah, I have attachments here. I don't know of one of you that when I think of you or say your name, something inside doesn't stir, because I have feeling about you. I have feelings about you. And so it is with Jesus. We must never lose our feeling about Jesus. We must never get past feeling. Because religion takes over and you live a cold, almost detached life away from the giver of life, you see? So feelings are very important. These people were past feeling, but that's not how we learn Christ. We learn to have Christ with lots of feeling. This scripture is a wonderful scripture. They should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him. If happily, feeling after Christ, feeling after Jesus is a happy thing. Feeling after him. So feelings are important. Let's go to another one. We have not an high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the same way that you feel, learn to feel and stay in a feeling relationship with Jesus, He has a feeling relationship with you. He knows the path that you take. He understands. You see, the reason He understands it is this, that He too was a man acquainted with sorrow. Man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. And that's why we have this high priest interceding, because He feels for us. Feeling is so important. And what we really want to talk tonight about is how to feel secure. But here's a tip up front. Whoso keepeth His commandment shall feel no evil. I guess it was mainly in my childhood. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it certainly was in my childhood when I felt evil. I have gone to bed at night as a child and felt evil. I have had several encounters as an adult where I felt evil. And here's kind of really good news, is that God doesn't want you to feel the evil that's around us. You can watch so much news, which is mostly what kind of news? Bad news. That you can feel surrounded with evil. But he that keeps His commandments shall feel no evil. Well, what commandments? I mean, we could always take a trip here through all the commandments, but let me just mention a few. If you meditate in Scripture, well, the Scripture is filling you up, you will feel no evil, because the Word of God that's in you will overcome evil. Secondly, feelings must not be overcome by our surroundings. Your feelings, something outside yourself must not take over your emotional life. For if outside forces control your emotions, you will live at the whim of those outside forces. And God wants you internally standing upright, feeling the right kind of feelings in spite of what's going on around us. And this second point brings us to the real subject tonight. Then how do you feel secure? How to feel secure. And I'm going to take you to one of my most favorite chapters of the Bible for the answer. And the points are right out of the Bible, line by line. Are you ready? First direction from the Lord, if you want to feel secure, is stop worrying because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, it goes on to give the reason, for they shall be cut off. They shall wither as the green herb. Fret not. I want you to get, actually, here's the key right here. Fret not. Stop worrying because of all the evil that's being done. Whether it is Al-Qaeda on the international scene and potentially functioning in America, or whether it is the I don't know if you've watched much news lately, but it is amazing the abduction of children that's going on. It's like a wave, isn't it? Like, but you see, you get enough information about this stuff and what's going on that the evildoers can usurp your emotional life. And so the first instruction from God on how to feel secure is to stop fretting about evildoers. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. Second instruction. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, we know what iniquity is. Here we go. I'm going to try to stay off the subject, but it's right there, isn't it? There are people around you who are full of iniquity. And iniquity, you recall, is people who don't accept themselves, but they want to dominate. They want to be unequal to what they should be. And it motivates a lot in the business world and the domestic world. And you may look around you and see people who are striving to get ahead, and they're not godly people. They are workers of iniquity, and it appears like their iniquity is working. It appears like they are successful. It appears like they have more than you do, are happier than you, have more friends than you, more assets than you. And God wants you to feel secure, so what He wants you to do is to stop being envious of them, stop comparing yourself with them, is necessary, and don't envy, of course, is jealousy of the appeared success of another. Envy is jealousy of the success of another. And God says, here are these workers of iniquity, and it looks like they're succeeding. Don't envy them, because the truth is, they're not. But if you envy the iniquity, the workers of iniquity, you will not feel secure. You'll always feel like something's missing from your life. Thirdly, trust. We talked about that a few moments earlier. Trust in the Lord. And I tell you that if we didn't get by this one phrase tonight, but all of us here learned to do that, you would start to feel secure. Trusting one who is trustworthy. I guess you could liken it unto seeing a really nice, comfortable-looking couch. And you sit on it, throw your feet up, lay back in sweet repose, fully confident that this thing is going to bear you up and not fall apart. So a person who trusts in the Lord is someone who goes into a posture, if you please, of sweet repose, leaning on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. In fact, one of the main commandments of Scripture is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Trust the Lord. You can trust Him. No evil shall befall you. Nothing will happen that He doesn't. Everything is going to work together for the good. Oh, dear friends, learn to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Don't let the darkness around you put out your light. They will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do good. Don't, because of the evil, don't let your good works stop because of the evil out there. And even because of evil people. Because you see, we do good not only unto the thankful and the grateful, but even to the unthankful. And God is like this. Isn't this delightful? You see, the rain, which is a sign of blessing, symbol of blessing, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Don't let anybody stop your good works. Now, you know that good works can't save you, but understand Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're not saved by good works, but we're saved partly. One of the reasons is for the purpose of doing good. I love the scripture about Jesus. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Don't let anybody stop you from doing good. In fact, one of our theme verses for Sunday, as was last Sunday, is, "Let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." That's the scripture behind our efforts in Katrina. We're sending people there, especially to the household of faith. We're sending it to homeschool parents who have been abandoned. The Red Cross won't help them. We will. And this is this group of people who really aren't in the main attached to big churches and big organizations, because they have these are people who are paying the price of withdrawing their children from the evil of the government school system, etc., protecting their children from the influence of television, etc. So they don't fit in the big organization. And that's wonderful, dear beloved. What a group this is. What a remnant this is. What a people to pay this kind of price. And so, especially those of the house, let's do good. Because here's the promise. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And you don't have to worry about your own food. Everything you need is going to come to you. You can feel secure by trusting the Lord and doing good. And then, delight thyself in the Lord. We talked a moment ago about the very name of Jesus initiating a sense of feeling in us. Take some time, push back the agenda if it's necessary, or rather include in your agenda a time for delighting yourself in the Lord. I mean, you could sit there and if you did nothing else and didn't know what to say, you could just say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." You could sit there for 20 minutes and do nothing else and delight yourself in the Lord. This is not a theological pursuit. This is not studying your Bible. This is not trying to find something. This is connection with Jesus. Delight yourself in the Lord. And those are some of the most precious moments you will ever experience. Because in those moments, you transition from the theoretical to the reality. You take it from the textbook to your personal experience. and you sit there in the very presence of God, and you are filled with such delights just to be in communion with Him. Delight thyself in the Lord. And when you do that, something will happen in you. Will you feel secure there? See, some people, Christian people, don't feel secure because they never connect and don't delight in the Lord. But the Scripture says that while you're there, He will put new desires in your heart that weren't there before. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. The desires for your heart. In that, delighting with the Lord is where He puts in you new desires that you didn't otherwise have. Oh, how blessed this time is, and how overcoming the feeling of insecurity it is. Commit your way to the Lord. Remember, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Here it is, parallel. Commit that way. Say, okay, God, I'm going your way. I'm not going to let anybody manipulate me to go their way. And I am not even going to go my own way. See, that was our problem to begin with. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. See, that was the problem. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you commit your ways means I am going to do what you direct me to do, and I tell you that this brings a wonderful sense of security. To know that you are smack dab in the will of God. Oh, there is nothing that creates a greater sense of security than knowing that you're walking in the will of God. Commit your way unto the Lord. And don't forget to trust. Trust also. See the also there? Trust also. And while you're committing, trust Him. Commit your way and trust Him. And He will bring it to pass. He will bring what to pass? Those desires He just finished putting in your heart. Now you commit your way unto Him. He's going to bring them to pass. Oh, what relief. What security. What a sense, what a feeling of being secure. Because God is working for you. Let me give you three quick points on the side. Number one, life is a battle. Anybody here not know that? Number two, life is your battle. Number three, the battle is the Lord's. And that's what the Scripture says. The battle is the Lord's. Israel was worried about going out. Don't worry, because the battle is the Lord's. He will fight for you. So let us, dear beloved, stop our striving and trust Him. Don't have to sweat to get ahead. You know why? Because promotion comes from the Lord. Remember, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will what? He will exalt you in due time. At the right time, He'll put you forward, upward. What a sense of security when you commit your way unto the Lord. Now, rest is very important. One of these days, we'll probably spend a few moments, although I feel so unqualified, but we are going to spend some time on health. And I should probably turn that segment over to Dr. Shirley, and I probably will ask him to help me. But there are some basics to health. Not only clean water and fresh air and good nutrition and exercise, but rest. Rest is a part of health. And this is true in the spiritual sense. There's a difference between resting and resting in the Lord. You can use your sleep time to do this. You can use a little oasis in the middle of the day to do this, if you wish. It has to do with, before you go to sleep, to consciously affirm that you're not just resting on the bed, but you're resting in the Lord. And wonderful things happen when you rest in the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. Scripture says he gives us songs in the night. It's not just a matter of sleep. It is an attitude towards sleep. It's an attitude towards rest. It's an action of your faith, realizing that you're going to, quote, sleep in the Lord. You're going to rest in the Lord. And I tell you, in our household, we do this every night without fail. And we happen to sleep with scriptures going on beside us. We have scriptures playing all night long. And not so loud that it would interrupt your sleep, but they're just there. And you take a scripture as your last thought, and you drift off. You're not just drifting off into this mystery of sleep, but there's a total sense of you are drifting off into the care of God. You are resting in the Lord. You are ceasing, and you are in repose before Him. See, the scripture says, He giveth His beloved rest. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, and there's a whole lot of verses on this, there's a rest that remaineth for the people of God. It is a rest other people don't know about. It is this resting in the Lord, and even in your sleep, your subconscious is now open to Him, and it will prevent the intrusion of the enemy who tries to disrupt your sleep. And the worries, remember, by the multitude of business comes dreams. Dreams come from a multitude of business, one of the four causes of dreams in the Bible. And it prevents the intrusion when you rest in the Lord. So, what a sense of security. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Now there's so many applications of this. Just see if I can narrow this down to. Somebody said the secret of patience is finding something else to do while you wait. But there is a number of instructions in the Bible that talks about waiting. Those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Now they tell us that word may mean serve, as a waiter waiting on somebody. Could be true. But there is great benefits of just waiting on the Lord. Because you see, it's the Lord's time that counts anyhow, right? And there are times when I would like God to show up right now because I think I need Him right now. And what he wants me to do is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him to arrive on the scene. He is always on time. You know, Mary and Martha didn't think so when Lazarus died. But Jesus was still on time. There would have been no resurrection if he'd have got there earlier. Waiting on the Lord. Relax. He'll show up. He'll do what needs to be done when it needs to be done if we'll just rest in the Lord and wait on him. What a sense of security comes from that kind of trust. And then, fret not. Now, this is a different fret than the first one. First fret was from those who work iniquity. This fret not is because of him who prospers in his way. And we live in such a materialistic environment. And it's flaunted. And if everybody could only spend what they own and not what they could borrow, the world would look a lot different. But there are people who appear to prosper, and we could say, why don't we prosper? And we do this comparison thing. It seems, and everybody, if we go, well, how are these people, where do they get all this money from, and what's going on, and how come they make so much money at this? And God comes along. You see that creates insecurity, thinking that you will not have enough. But the Lord comes along and says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. And not only him that prospers in his way, but the man that brings wicked devices to pass. Don't worry, fret not, stop even contemplating that, because it's what makes you feel insecure. And so the answer to that is to stop worrying about that. Don't even let it occupy your thinking. It will bring a sense of security. Cease from anger. Grievous words stir up anger. Anger is a condition of temporary insanity. And in some cases, it's not always temporary. Anger can last a long time. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that anger rests, stays put. Anger rests in the bosom of the foolish. Those who have not learned wisdom yet have anger accumulating, resting, stays put, and is there all the time, waiting for some little incident to occur to explode into action. These people can never feel secure. They don't even feel secure. They could lose control of themselves at any moment. And God tells us often how important it is to put away wrath and anger. Wrath is the actions that come out of anger. They are acts done in vengeance because of the anger that's in us. How do you get rid of anger? And Bill has a whole seminar on it, but I'm going to give it to you in one sentence. I'll give it to you in one word. The key to getting rid of anger is forgiveness. Somebody does something, stir up anger. So how do you get rid of the anger? You forgive them. Anger's gone. That's simple. And you may well need to take a sheet of paper and list all the people that you have some portion of anger against. And maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, you have a person who's stirred up a bit of anger in you that only reaches to the level 2. And then you have some 3s and you have some 7s. And you might have a couple of, you might have a 10 or a couple of 10s. And you need to, what you need to do is to go down that list very slowly and absolutely forgive everyone that's ever offended you. And if you do that, the cause of anger has been dismissed and dismantled. Do you follow that? It is the key to resolving anger. Anger is a wrong reaction to the offenses or the perceived offenses of others. They may not have been real offenses. You may have only perceived them as offenses. But even if they're perceived as offenses, it stirs up anger. So we forgive the offender. That's why Jesus puts such a high premium on forgiveness. In fact, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses the way we forgive other people their trespasses. And when he finished the prayer, he said this, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you yours. That's how important this discipline is of forgiveness. It's the key to resolving anger. Forgive. Forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Again, wrath is acts done in retaliation. Could be raising your fist and swinging. That would be wrath. It could be, are you ready? A glaring look with your eyes. It could be sentences spoken. It could be vulgarities and cuss words. Those are acts of wrath that come. Cease from anger and forsake the wrath, which is the fruit of anger, comes out of anger. Don't go there. And then a third, fret not. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Don't do evil. Because, watch this now, fretting will lead to doing evil. Fretting will lead, worry will lead to a wrong response to the situation. My mother used to have a poem, I can't recall, I wish I had it back, and maybe I'll find it. I still have volumes of their, my mother and father's paperwork to go through. But she had this poem, but I recall part of it was that it's something she learned in girl guides when she was a little girl. And it contained this idea that approach a problem calm, cool, and collectively. God intends his people to have about them an aura of calmness and tranquility. He wants you tranquil. He doesn't want anything to upset your tranquility, your calmness, your dignified posture. So worry upsets that. So fret not thyself so that you in no wise will do anything out of that disrupted disordered, internally upset condition. So we meet the stuff of life not with panic strickenness. We only treat emergencies like emergencies. Some people treat everything like an emergency. It's not. Cool. Relax. Fret not, because if you do, if you function out of an interior posture of worry and upset, you're likely to do the wrong thing. It's almost like, you know, the application of I'm crucified, I'm a dead man. So instead of, you know, I'm just there and observing the thing. I look, take all the facts in, and I make decisions calm, cool, and collectedly. And it's no big deal. The sun's going to shine tomorrow, and I'll be here. And God will be with me. Stop fretting in any ways to do evil. There are so many verses more. I conclude with this verse. The song we sung tonight. You see, is it not in man to devise his own steps? It's when we live this life of trying to figure everything out our own way that we feel insecure. And well, we should. But if we are trusting in the Lord, resting in Him, waiting patiently on Him, fretting not ourselves, we've stopped all the anger. Then security? Because remember, we commit our ways unto the Lord, and we're in this condition where we are the good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be cast down. Some stuff may look like it's not going your right way, but it will not cast you down, because the Lord upholds you with it. For the Lord upholdeth you. Oh, what a foundation your life rests upon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.